Aloha.
Aloha.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard coming back, isn't it?
Yes, it's very hard.
But we had a very magical journey that we're still processing.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
But we decided that we just had so many experiences that we could do this whole show, that we could do all of the segments that we usually highlight other people in.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, in case you haven't caught up, the Green Divas just did a fabulous trip to the Big Island of Hawaii.
Which they like to call Hawaii Island.
Hawaii Island. And it was very magical. And thank you again to Drew Delaware of Kalani. And to the maker of
some wonderful chocolates,
oh,
by the way.
Yeah, the winner.
Oh my gosh.
The winner of the Poo Poo Palooza, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Island Visitors Bureau, Lynn Shizumura, who they pulled together to help us get out there and have a really, really fabulous eco time. I don't know. You be descriptive for a minute, because I'm running out of words, apparently.
No, it was a wonder. It was all about local food, and we saw a lot of what they had going on with sustainability, renewable energy.
Everywhere.
And
everywhere.
Just the beauty of the nature that was surrounding
even
us
in
every moment.
Even in that the little bathroom in this little kind of food shack on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out to be fantastic. I went into the ladies' room, and there was art everywhere. But one of the, and I'll show the, in the show post or whatever, the post that goes with all this fun, there was a piece of art there that just showed all the different renewable energy going on throughout the, I was like, oh my gosh, there's everything going on here.
Yeah, had to take a picture of it.
I did have to take a picture of the artwork in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cool pictures, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds.
I haven't even Instagrammed all of mine. I still have some on my camera, so they're now becoming latergrams. You ever seen that hashtag?
No. Later.
Yeah, it's a latergram. I couldn't figure out what that was before, but now I know, because it's when it's
aftergram.
Process it later.
Aftergram.
Latergram.
Right. That's cute.
So yes, find all of our photos if you go to Instagram, and you can use the hashtag GD Hawaii.
Yes. Yeah, and we were busy. We had a good time.
It was fabulous.
It was a multimedia Green Diva party.
And it was a long trip, and just today we offset our greenhouse gases.
Yeah, long being like it's a very, very long plane ride.
Mm-hmm.
Many miles. Thank you to add miles to my frequent flyer miles, but a lot of fuel being burned. So we did. We offset, and I calculated exactly. It allowed me to, you know, really literally put in the flights between Newark and Honolulu and Chicago and Honolulu. And so we have an honest offset.
And yeah, you even rounded it up.
I rounded it up to cover the car, but we actually took a more fuel-efficient car when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we averaged 30.4 miles per gallon, and, you know, we didn't really drive all that much, except for, you know, when we were changing places.
Yeah, it's not too bad, especially considering the amount of hills we had.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, anyway, you did a great My Earth 360 report.
Oh, why, thank you.
And, you know, Lynn talked a lot about the renewable energy and all that's going on in Hawaii. Hawaii's really a great What's the word I'm looking for? A great
leader?
Leader, yeah. Thank you. Very good word. Yeah, in renewable energy. They're doing it all. Of course, they have an advantage in certain ways with some of the hydro. What was that called again?
Geothermal?
It's a special oceanic.
Oh, on the ocean.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
So you have to listen to My Earth 360 to understand what I'm talking about, but you'll be curious because there's a lot going on.
Exactly.
Then we did a Traveling Green Diva segment, and this time it was us traveling. Yay!
That was fun.
It was fun, and there's a lot to learn, and I think the synopsis is, I think the Big Island really is the best-kept secret in Hawaii. And shh, don't tell everybody.
Yeah, please don't say a word.
Because I think one of the things that makes it so special is it's got a very rich, natural environment still. And, of course, there's the volcano, which, you know.
Yeah, the volcano is... That's a huge national park.
That was...
Humongous.
Someone asked me what really the highlight was, and I said, hey, you know, it might have been. The volcano was pretty intense.
I'd have to say that, and it's a toss-up between that and the zip lining. Being up in those trees...
That was pretty magical.
Yeah.
That was pretty magical. So, there'll be a video coming out with images of all this fun stuff, and... listen to that segment coming up, and then we have an eco style segment because, you know, Green Divas got to have their aloha style.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had the foodie file.
Foodie files, because that was originally the whole purpose of us going out there was to participate in the Puna Culinary Festival.
Yeah, and speaking of the foodie.
The foodie
segment. What we didn't mention. Well, we didn't mention in the travel segment either that I thought was pretty cool at Kalani was that all of their food waste went into a bin with a picture of a pig on it.
Oh, yeah.
They send it to a local pig farm.
Yeah.
For the pigs to eat.
And by the way, there are wild feral pigs running all over the island, and we happen to see two of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might have been the same one.
No, because one was in Kohala
right,
and one was
true.
Down in... Kalani, but yeah, we're like, was that what we both were like, what? What's that?
Yeah, were we imagining?
Do they have wild boars on this? Because it's black and it was not tiny.
No, it was pretty big.
And then when you get to Kalani, they have this book that greets you and describes all this fabulous stuff. And then they're like, and about the critters.
Mm-hmm.
And we laughed so hard we cried that first night.
Oh my gosh!
About
yeah.
like the giant centipedes. <I'm> like no.
Fortunately, we didn't have any run-ins with the giant centipede. Just a normal-sized one.
A normal-sized one.
Well, it was a little larger than usual.
It was a little scary. It was on my leg.
Mm-hmm. But not in our cottage. It was outside.
No. So, anyway, we tell a lot of stories in all these segments, and this show is just littered with them, and you'll want to go see the video, too. So, we feature, at the end of our segments today, the end of the show, we feature... a wonderful interview we did with Eric Ellenwood, who is the permaculture guy or one of the permaculture guys at Kalani.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, you know, what just the wonderful and rich permaculture environment that is happening not only at Kalani, but, you know, really throughout the Hawaiian island.
Right.
And a quick thank you to buygreen.com, our fabulous sponsor. Trusted source for all things green and a great rating system. So I think even some of the things that we talk about in our eco style probably are available at buygreen.com. So check it out.
Yeah, go to thegreendivas.com.
Yeah.
/
marketplace.
Buygreen. Oh, sorry, you tell me.
Marketplace. Green Divas.
Marketplace.
TheGreenDivas.com / marketplace. That's all right. So stay tuned, everybody. Mahalo and aloha. Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 report and hear it all, from WTF to encouraging news and ways that you can take action for the Earth. This segment is sponsored by TrueGoods.com, because shopping should be fun, not frightening. TrueGoods helps you make simple choices for healthier, safer, cleaner living. Tell truth, shop good at TrueGoods.com. Well, okay, kids, it's like Hawaii all day here at the Green Diva Studio. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, Green Diva Meg, how are you?
I'm good. So I think for this particular... particular special episode of My Earth 360, we're going to talk about some of the energy things, the renewable stuff, the cool stuff that's going on in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. We saw some of it when we were there.
Yes.
We saw, it was kind of funny, we saw what we thought was a cell tower as we're driving into Hawaiian Island Retreat.
Oh, because it was dark, right. We were
and
driving
like,
in the dark.
No, that can't be a cell tower right by the retreat.
I know, giant cell tower.
But it was a windmill.
Yeah.
Cool.
And there
was
more than one up there, right?
Right, right. So they've got a lot of good stuff going on as far as renewable energy goes.
Well, the Hawaiian Island Retreat actually was off the grid. They had their own completely between the solar and the that windmill. They're off the grid, man.
Yeah, it's quite amazing.
It's very cool.
And Kalani, where we also stayed, they have a big solar facility.
We never saw
when we were there, which is kind of funny.
Silly.
We asked about that.
Silly.
We were just too much in the moment of Hawaii.
We were just too hot to think.
We were a little hot. Yeah, we were looking for AC. I know. It was pretty sad.
Oh, well. Hey.
Green divas have to be comfortable sometimes.
Well, sometimes. Unrelenting heat is kind of tough when you're not used to it.
Yeah, definitely. They say you can get used to it, but I'm not so sure about that.
Maybe not in 3 or 4 days.
Right. So maybe if they get more solar, they can hook up some AC. I don't know.
Yeah.
There happens to be a site that I found, and it ranks total carbon dioxide emissions by state. The facts go back to 2011, so it might have changed a little bit. But
okay.
Hawaii overall ranked 43rd, which is pretty good.
Okay.
And my state, Illinois, was up there closer to the top, which makes sense. But
wait a minute. So it's 43rd means that they produce less carbon dioxide.
Yes,
okay, got it.
Yes,
yeah, where's Jersey?
They're not one of the worst. They're one of the best.
Where's Jersey?
Exactly. And they are on really a roll as far as renewable energy goes. They've been offering tax incentives for solar and wind since 1976.
Oh my gosh, yeah, they're way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, they came up with renewable energy goals in 2001, and they're actually mandatory, and they've been expanded so that what they had in place in a little bit later in 2009 requires the utilities to get 70% of their supply from clean energy by 2030.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and 40% has to come from renewable energy, 30% from energy efficiency.
Okay.
So that is really a great thing. And it's very important to the Hawaii Islands because, you know, they're importing oil, and they're out there in the middle of the Pacific. So it's very costly, and so they have the highest electricity prices in the U.S.
Hence, lack of air conditioning most places.
Yeah. So they pay 3 times the U.S. average for electricity. So there's definitely a lot of incentive to get those prices down and use what they have available, and they've got every possible form of renewable energy, wind, geothermal, they're using solid waste, and overall, their renewable energy provides 10% of power, with more from biomass and hydro, but the Big Island, where we were staying, is already at 40% renewable energy.
That's amazing.
Yes, and it's really hopefully something that the rest of the U.S. will follow.
Right, and of course they're ahead of the curve partly because they're an island in the middle of the Pacific, and resources are you know, a lot more precious in many ways, whether it's being shipped in or, you know, limited to what they already have on the island. So, you know, it's a bummer, but you know that they have to be squeezed in order to, but that's the way it works. You know, it's like Europe and England.
Right.
They have these little tiny cars, and their gas prices are like $8 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, they have more efficient cars. So whatever it takes to motivate folks.
Yeah, I guess it's human nature. You wait until something is a problem that's right in your backyard, smacking you in the face before you really say, oh, I guess we got to do something about this.
And I did notice when we were driving through Kona, you could see the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see, you know, huge oil tanks.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, that almost looks like a refinery, man.
Yeah. Well, and we visited Nelha.
Yes.
I don't know if they really... Did they refer to themselves as Nelha? I know that's their...
Acronym? What does it stand for?
What does it stand for?
Good question.
Hang on a second, I can tell you. talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, well, we did have a presentation at this place that Lynn will describe exactly what it means in a minute. And we spent a lot of time there one afternoon. They were lovely people who have been working on renewable energy technologies. Specifically, there was one technology that worked extremely well in Hawaii because of some particular, undercurrent that runs right near the Hawaiian Islands that they can tap into. And it's like this constant source of consistent temperature. It's sort of geothermal-ish, but it had to do more with ocean water and currents, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not good at describing these things technically. But, you know, it was all very encouraging that there's just a lot of research. This was a research center we went to, and they're helping encourage. It reminded me like an incubator. They didn't call it that, but it felt like it was a place for fledgling companies and research facilities for different types of sustainable and renewable technologies.
You're close in the word, and that is because it's called NELHA, stands for NELHA, stands for Natural Energy Laboratory of Hawaii Authority.
There you go.
So it is, it's like a lab.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I know in the biotech world they have these incubators, which often, like in Canada they have one in Toronto, where they encourage research and young companies and innovators to, you know, they help support them while they're doing their research and starting their companies.
Right.
Anyway.
And the technology you were describing is ocean thermal energy conversion.
Ooh, thank you.
Yes.
I'm so glad somebody knows what's happening. Yeah, so there was a lot that was actually encouraging and...
Mm-hmm.
They were really nice because remember I was getting really sick that day?
Oh, yeah. They were throwing all sorts of natural
remedies. Oh, my God. They gave us like a whole thing of zinc, and I had like, you know, traditional medicinal tea that they gave me. And it was very, they were very kind because it was extremely hot, as I recall.
Yeah. And the cool thing, they did have air conditioning, but they used cold, deep seawater to cool their buildings.
Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of cool. Yeah, hot, literally. It was cool. So,
And this is another cool thing, and that is that in the long run, their state energy office says that Hawaii has the potential to produce more than 140% of current power demand from renewables. 140%.
Wow. So they just have to really work on getting to that potential.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they are. I mean, everything that we saw on the Big Island, everybody we talked to that lived there was all about the natural resources and sustainability and preservation and conservation, right? I mean, did
mm-hmm.
you really run...
Local foods.
Yeah. Oh,
tons
my gosh.
Of farmers markets.
Yeah. And we'll be talking about that more in some of our other segments.
Indeed.
All right. Good job, Lynn.
All right, take care.
Stay tuned, people. More coming. Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com, and myearth360.com. And remember to tell truth and shop good at truegoods.com.
Yeah. The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
All right, yum. Well, you know, the main reason we went to Hawaii, the Big Island, was to participate in the Puna Culinary Festival. Culinary or culinary? I don't know. I always say culinary.
I say culinary. You say culinary.
Let's
potato, call potato, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Exactly. So we did our talk story, which was really interesting as we melted down, and it was a, you know, pleasant audience. And forgiving audience is the word I'm looking
right.
for. But we also the next day did our juicing and smoothie workshop.
Which, yes, we did.
Which was really kind of fun and easy for us because you and I are both smoothie juicing freaks.
Yeah, unfortunately, the juicing part didn't work out because they had, because it is on a tropical island, they
yeah.
had a little infestation in their juicer.
Yeah, these ants. It was like crazy. This guy, was it Greg was his name? I can't remember.
Kevin? I don't know.
Well, this nice man who was one of the managers of the kitchen when we first went to talk the day before and kind of gather our things. He's like, oh.
We got to cool off in their refrigerator.
Yeah, he became my friend instantly because he said, come on into the refrigerator so we can talk. And I'm like, okay. And so he cleaned it off that day. But then when we got it back, they just were relentless. And they were coming literally out of the motor from
yeah.
inside the machines. We're like, okay, you're going outside. Because
so we talked about juicing.
We did. And if we learned nothing, it was that the geckos and the bugs instantly appear when you have any food out.
Yes, you have to be very careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one morning you brought me tea because I wasn't feeling well with a little bit, like we put a tiny microscopic bit of honey in there. And mm-hmm. I drank it all, but there must have been like a residue. And I'm telling you, within 15 minutes, there were two geckos fighting over it.
Right.
Come on. So, anyway, we had a lot of fun. We had quite a few people in attendance, even though it was 900 degrees and, you know, humid.
Mm-hmm. We had the fans going.
We did. More than one, I'd say.
Yeah, we talked about why juice versus smoothies.
Yeah.
And the type of juicers or smoothie machines that we like to use. And,
yeah.
of course, our favorite is the Champion.
Yep, both of us
that's,
have a
that's
Champion.
That's a cold press.
And that's what they had there. So I was all excited
yeah,
when
I know,
until the ants started crawling out of it. Yeah.
Right.
But and then you use a Vitamix for your smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
And I use my good old-fashioned, I have a really good Osterizer, but I have like the old, it's kind of a, almost a, commercial grade. It's a stainless steel with a glass container.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that for years, man. I won't give it up.
Well, what I loved about the workshop is that we got to discover a lot of different fruits that, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen in my life, much less eaten.
Yeah, and it was really great because when we got to go into the refrigerator, other than cooling down, we got a rundown on all these really cool tropical local fruits that we got to play with. We went that afternoon and made some, you know, experimented with some of the, like, dragon fruit, and I don't even know the name of all these things.
I know, it's hard to remember them all, but I did love the lychee.
Yeah.
Which we didn't use in the smoothie, but you bite into it. It kind of looks like a hairy strawberry or a hairy giant raspberry.
Yeah, it's got a lot of other kind of weird connotations in my head, but yeah, mm-hmm.
But you bite into it, and inside is this, like, peeled, oversized grape kind of thing.
It's bizarre, and it's got
yeah.
a pit in it, but you can easily just eat, you know, eat the thing right around.
Right. Well, and the other cool thing I did before the juicing is and smoothie workshop is I went to a cooking class, and a guy was making hummus out of jackfruit
seeds. Yeah.
Not only had I not seen jackfruit, but I didn't know that you could eat
it. And was that the thing he was using the machete on?
Yeah, it was either that or the breadfruit.
And
yeah,
he
had a machete.
And did he say, like,
he does literally use to blaze trails in the fields.
Yeah, did he say, don't try this at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, Because seriously, that's crazy. But if you can get your hands on jackfruit seeds or cracked open jackfruit, it's worth playing with.
Yeah. So we had dragon fruit and star fruit.
Something began with an M, that one weird one.
Yeah. I'm having trouble remembering that one again. And my brain is still suffering from being pretty much off the whole time that we were in Hawaii. But we'll be posting some recipes, but
And Lynn and I each talked about our different, you know, over the years I've developed my sort of basic formula, which involves, you know, either coconut oil or flaxseed oil, and I use certain spices, turmeric or however the hell you say it. I know I say it wrong, but I'm hooked on it. You know, I use ginger, cayenne, all that kind of fun stuff in my smoothies, and sometimes in the juice I use the fresh ginger. So we talked about the different, you know, our different styles and a lot of the nutritional value of the various things that we love.
Right, and we had some of the Boku Superfood.
Oh, yeah.
Which they have a super protein. I always put protein in my smoothies in the morning. I have a smoothie every single morning of my life. And their protein is made from sprouted rice protein, also a type of red algae and cranberry protein, which I didn't even know that cranberries have any protein.
Well, it's a really good plant-based protein that mm-hmm. they have meticulously gone out of their way to make sure it's arsenic and metal free, because even organic brown rice, you know, based stuff tends to have some of this arsenic and other bummers in it now. So they've really, it's a very, very, very clean, potent, you know, protein.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun to throw together some smoothies. We got the people that came to our workshop.
Yeah.
Got them involved in experimenting. And
oh my God. And that woman, I think her name was Julia.
Mm-hmm.
The last one made the most amazing, you know, experimental juice there. Really. I think it blew mine away. Sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think people liked mine the least because I tend to, mine tend to be pretty functional. And it's just like I throw a bunch of stuff in there that's good for you and, you know, stalks and all with the kale. And everybody was like,
yeah,
this is kind of stalky.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just like, to me, that's my breakfast. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
But
you're like my sister. I tend to like to make them kind of tasty and fun, but that's just me. Anyway, well, everybody should go to the website because there are a couple, and we talked about my, cashew cream and yogurt, sour cream.
Oh, I know. I still have to try that.
Because we were talking about some making it creamy, versus, you know, just using water. But if you want it to be creamy and not have the carrageenan that's in all the nut milks out there, what a bummer. Anyway, so those.
Oh, of course, carrageenan. They have a website. I was looking at it today, and they say it's perfectly safe.
Yeah, of course they do.
So, but Cornucopia Institute says otherwise.
Says otherwise. So anyway, all this stuff is those cashew stuff is already up there, but Lynn will link to it from the smoothie post, which we promised to do last week for the girls from the event. Anyway,
we'll have that up there with all the benefits of juicing and smoothieing and some recipes.
Stay tuned. Much more Hawaii, much more aloha coming.
Mahalo.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Where are you headed on your next trip? Have you considered the environmental impact of your adventure? Listen to the Travelin' Green Divas to get tips for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly travels. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, so Travelin' Green Divas, this time it's us doing the segment. Isn't that fun?
I know, it is fun.
Yeah. It was quite a journey.
It was a lovely journey, a long journey.
A long and lovely journey.
It was well worth the amount of hours spent in an airplane.
Well, and mahalo to Drew Delaware of Kalani for really coordinating all of this and for the Big Island Visitors Bureau that really helped us get there and really got us to do stuff we were really reluctant to do initially, right?
Yeah, we almost canceled the zip lining because on their website it said that we'd be up 150 feet.
And we were.
Up in the trees, and I was like, what? There's no way I can do that.
Yeah.
But we did it anyway.
Yeah, and it was quite an adventure.
It was the best thing ever. I would do it. I wanted to just do it all over again very same day.
By the time we went through 9 zip lines, and the first one, your knees are shaking when you get to the end of the first zip, and you're like, wow, I lived. And
And we literally hugged trees.
Yeah.
It was like, thank God we're at this tree now. We can stand here and be
on
sort of like
tree.
a firm surface.
Love the tree. And but by the time, then you're like, wee, it was fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
So thank you.
And it was beautiful.
Kohala.
Absolutely beautiful.
Was it Kohala zip lining? And our guides, Dave and Ezra?
Yeah.
They were a hoot. They were really...
They were hilarious.
But you could tell they were extremely serious and competent about their work, and they were...
Yeah, they made me... I felt really safe with them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did too. Even though they were fun and funny, I could tell that they were deadly serious about making sure we were all safe. Because, it was a little scary. There were some...
Yeah, you're up there.
We didn't just do zip lining. We did the zip line challenge.
Which with all those wobbly bridges.
I had no idea that we were going to be out for 4 hours zipping and crossing rope bridges. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
I know.
So thank you.
It was good Green Diva bonding time.
Well, it was.
Like a team, one of those team bonding.
Team building. Things. I felt like it was Outward Bound in Hawaii, a little Outward Bound. But that was really cool. And that happened while we were staying in our first place, which was the Hawaii Island Retreat up in the north end of the island. Huge shout out to Jeannie Sunderland and the team there. They made us feel so comfortable. And, oh, my God, the food was it Becky? Becky that was cooking for us for all their
Everything grown on the premises.
And they had goats and chickens and cows, and they used primarily goat dairy products from their own goats, which I don't think you were as fond of as I was, because I actually
I've never had that in my coffee before.
Yeah.
It was I think that's an acquired taste, but I think it was good. Lots of coffee.
But Jeannie took us on a tour of this beautiful 55 acres of gardens, and, they grow like everything there. It's fantastic. And they also do, as I think you'll hear about a little bit more in the My Earth 360 report, that they also are off the grid and have their own energy from solar and wind.
And lots of geckos.
Lots of geckos, yeah. And how about that Lang Lang tree?
Oh, my gosh. I could not get away from that thing.
I know. It was like, I'm just going to go sit out. It was like in the courtyard outside our room, and they had this beautiful little rattan couch and a couple of rockers and this huge crystal cluster. It was just beautiful. And you could just sit. It was utterly intoxicating.
We were intoxicated. Yeah. I think it was like a form of being high, naturally.
It really was hard to leave there.
I wanted to bottle that smell up.
We were very well taken care of in general, and we are already planning, just to give everybody a heads up, we will be doing a Green Divas, drum roll please, retreat.
December 2015.
Yeah, so stay tuned. You'll be hearing details about that. We're working on that already, so we can give everybody time to save their pennies, because you're not going to want to miss this.
Yes.
So the second part of our trip involved the Kalani, which is a yoga retreat and healthy retreat. I don't know how else you would categorize it, right?
Yeah, it's.
They said it was the largest retreat place in the entire Hawaii Islands.
Well, and they're a nonprofit. They focus on sustainability, agriculture, and they take the Hawaiian culture very seriously.
Yeah, it's a very, they call it the Aloha culture. And it was really interesting to read about. And the Aloha culture does really incorporate a very natural rhythm with the nature that's present and the environment that's present, which and it happened to be, I think, record-breaking heat when we were there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their website right now. It's actually 87.8 degrees.
Yeah,
it's a little warmer than it is typically.
Yeah, well, when we were there, it was like 90 and 90% humidity. I said it was more like 100% humidity because it was just wow.
Yeah, it's something we're not really used to.
We're just not used to that.
So, and if we are in that weather, we just throw the AC on.
Well, we are a little spoiled that way.
We are.
Right?
Even though we're green divas, you know,
but
we do have a breaking point.
But you could see, though, that, you know, the Hawaiian culture is a little bit like, whatever, man.
Yeah, they didn't see. They were completely fine. They're like, this is just what we do.
You know, so your hair is stringy and clinging to your body and you're sweaty.
Right,
and
sweating us up a storm.
Like, we did our talk story, which is this presentation, and, you know, we're used to being all, like, primped and pretty and ready to go. And I was, like, just melting down. I thought, well, screw it. There's not. It's almost no point putting makeup on. It's not going to stay.
Right, right.
But they were all so accepting, and I guess that's part of the Aloha culture, is that, you know, hey, it is hot. It is a little bit, you know, like, you know, people are not moving fast.
Right, right.
So we didn't move that fast.
No, we didn't move fast.
Oh,
we really slowed things down, and it was hard to get back to normalcy. But it was great to be there then. And they, we had our eco cottage, and their all of their architecture just maximizes the natural air, just with the they've got the screens above, so the hot air kind of goes out.
Yeah. Well, everything there really. I was surprised that even in the touristy spots. Where I had an expectation, like, oh, this is, you know, like, what was it in Kona? We stopped for lunch. It was like this surfer bar kind of. I thought, oh, this is like a Jackie Race. It seemed like it was a tourist spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no expectation, but we were starving, as I recall.
Yes.
So we stopped, and it turned out to be like local, sustainable, organic. They had vegan, they had vegetarian, they had everything. And
yeah,
it
seemed
was,
like every place seemed like they offered that we went to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I want to give a shout out to the Volcano House restaurant.
That was a lot of fun.
Which was magical. And they fit us in at the last minute because they were kind of full and you have to make reservations. And we kind of went AWOL from our Kalani fun to check out the volcano. By the way, the volcano, ironically, is the only place to get cool on the island.
Yeah, we rushed there.
Yeah, we were like, coolness.
Because it was hot where we were, and then we left. We did our judging at Poo Poo Palooza, which was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Got to taste some great poo-poos.
Yeah.
And then up on the volcano, it was like 67 degrees.
And by the way, poo-poos is like appetizer or small meal in Hawaiian.
That's important to mention.
And then we went to the volcano, and so at this Volcano House restaurant at night, they dim the lights periodically so you can see the glow. It's unbelievable. You can see the volcano.
It was mesmerizing.
This orange glow of hot lava steaming up, and you're like, whoa.
And our whole theme was go with the flow.
It was.
So it was a good way to, that was our last night there.
So we got to wrap this up. I'm just going to say, like, 5 stars, 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
In general, the Big Island. Probably the best kept secret in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm afraid to tell people.
But
well, how about the fact there was, like, literally, you'd go to these places and nobody's at the Black Sand Beach. Nobody was there.
We did go at 6:30 in the morning, but, you know.
True.
And this might not be the height of tourist season, but I still believe that it's a much more natural and rustic setting, and maybe people are usually going to Hawaii to go to some beach resort. But I'm telling you, if you're a Green Diva dude and you want to experience real Hawaiian culture and the natural culture, you want to go to this island. It's magical.
Hawaii Island.
Okay. Stay tuned. More coming up on Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha.
Whether you're off to a tropical getaway or traveling for business, make sure to check the Traveling Green Divas on thegreendivas.com for more tips and ideas for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly adventures. No one ever said you had to give up style to be a Green Diva. Or dude. Check out this Green Diva's EcoStyle segment for all the latest trends in sustainable, ethical, gorgeous EcoStyle.
Aloha style. Hey, Green Diva Lynn.
Hey, Green Diva Meg.
Yeah, it's no fun. We got spoiled because we were together for so long.
I know.
Yeah. So we want to talk about Aloha style here, people. And we had some fabulous sponsors who sent really beautiful things for us, right?
Yeah, so we felt like we were pretty well outfitted for Hawaii, at least for our activities.
Yeah, you know how usually if you're going on a big trip like that, you go shopping and you buy a couple things. I'm telling you, I did not shop and buy anything.
No, I guess I didn't really either.
Yeah, well, you didn't even need a bathing suit.
Right, because swimming or clothing was optional at the Kalani pool.
Oh, well, there's that.
But I didn't do that.
She didn't do that. But you had a beautiful bikini from Kauru, and it was so cute.
I love it. Yeah, they sent a bikini and matching board shorts and a rash guard. I felt sexy and stylish.
Well, she was, and she was like, here, Meg, pick out a bathing suit. And I looked, and they were all bikinis. I'm like, next year. This year, not so much.
Well, what I love about their stuff, not only is it adorable, the designs are great, they're made from discarded materials like carpet fluff.
Wow.
And fishing line.
You were wearing carpet fluff and fishing line? I love it.
Apparently so. Yeah.
Carpet fluff. I wish I'd known that before. I would have really made fun of you. You're wearing carpet fluff. No, that's great, actually. I really like that.
Yeah.
So how about I traveled, I did my whole 18 hours of our first, you know, our trip there. It took 18 solid hours for me, and I wore the Brooke There underwear.
Yeah, I saved mine for the trip, for actually being in Hawaii.
Well, I wore it because it was so darn comfortable. I
thought, yeah, it's very comfortable. And you know, like, when you're not even wearing underwear,
when you're on a 10-hour flight, you're like, no, there's no thong thing going on here. Like, and these were they're organic cotton and silk.
Yeah, and the cotton is milled in the U.S., which is also a plus.
Yeah,
and they're cut and sewn in America.
Nice.
And they're real. What I loved is just you just look at the how it's put together. It's so well constructed.
Yeah. So, and we did get some beautiful arm warmers, but those will be for a future thing because really there was just no need to wear arm.
No, we didn't need to wear those.
You know, they're like gloves without fingers. I love them. But anyway, and we also got shoes. Like, you know, what Green Diva doesn't need shoes?
Yeah, these were great from Anu. They were great for our zip lining.
Yeah, we both got a really cool pair of, and I have been wanting to buy like a pair of Keens for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of sporty outdoor shoes with air conditioning. I don't know how else to put it, you know.
Yeah.
And I had never found a pair that I really felt attuned to. So I was like so excited because these are absolutely perfect.
They're called Luganitas.
Yeah. Luganitas, okay. I love them. And they also sent me a pair of really cute shoes that I wore on both my travel stints, you know, the travel days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the ones that we got weren't eco-friendly, but they do make some vegan shoes. But what I liked about the company overall is that they give back to charitable organizations like Wilderness Land Trust.
Yeah.
And their packaging was all post-consumer recycled fibers.
Well, they're a very conscientious company and a
right.
very sustainable company in many ways. So we love that. And I love my shoes.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, almost more than the shoes, I am madly in love with my tie-dye.
Oh, they're
pants.
So groovy. The tie-dyed pants from Shining Shakti. I love mine.
I think one of the best pictures of me on this whole trip is me doing a tree pose in my Shining Shakti yoga pants.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
Yeah. And we have some, speaking of that, we do have some shots of you in your Threads for Thought yoga wear.
Yep, their stuff is fair wage. They use organic cotton.
Yeah.
And the But the sorry about that, but I can talk. the yoga stuff that I got and that you got also,
yes,
is 93% recycled polyester.
I love that.
And that uses 90% less water than traditional polyester, just as a side note.
Yeah, and often that RPET, or RPET, I can't remember, I think it's RPET, is usually made from, like, recycled water bottles. Like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and very comfortable. Both the Threads for Thought stuff and Shining Chakti were just uber comfortable.
Yeah. So we were styling Green Divas, and, you know, I found that I could mix and match a lot of my own stuff. I didn't have to buy anything new.
Right, right.
And I love the Aloha style in general. It is very relaxed, and, of course, it was extremely hot. So,
yes, it was.
You know, everything had to be loose and comfortable and forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So no grass skirts. And you know what? We didn't get laid.
No, we didn't, and I never saw a grass skirt either.
But, you know, I all the images from growing up, every time anybody gets off a plane in Hawaii, they put a layer on your neck, right?
Yeah, we never got one. I think you have to buy them yourself now.
I was really sad.
They did have them in the little gift shops at the airport.
I know.
So you have to lay yourself.
You have to lay yourself. That's not right. Get laid in Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, lay yourself in Hawaii.
Right.
Anyway, a big shout-out and thank you to these manufacturers that are striving to be more sustainable and more fair trade and fairly made and all
mm-hmm.
these great things.
Yeah, we'll be posting more photos because you took
yes.
a bunch of photos, and yeah. some of it will appear in our video, too.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, we'll stay tuned because there's a lot more Aloha coming up.
Want to have sexy Green Diva style too? And learn more about low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green? Visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
We are going to have so much fun today talking to Eric Ellenwood. He is the manager of permaculture at the Kalani. I don't know if it's the Kalani Resort. Is it the Kalani Resort?
It's actually not a resort. It's a retreat center.
It's a retreat center, right.
Yeah. Retreat center.
In paradise.
In paradise.
In paradise.
I love
the tagline, find yourself here.
Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They say it's the Big Island, but I got some message that they're trying to sort of rebrand it from the Big Island to the original island or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, despite the confusion, this island is actually Hawaii. And I think the Big Island was an easy way to kind of figure out, are we talking about New York or New York City? It kind of has the same name. You know, it can
right.
be confusing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for this island.
Aww.
I know a lot of natives, locals, don't really like the name Big Island.
Right, yeah. So we're trying to be respectful because we're going to be coming out there to check you all out. And part
right.
of what we'll be doing other than playing at the Kalani during that Puna Sustainable Food Festival.
Yeah, the culinary festival, yeah.
Is we're going to be also checking out some of the other really cool eco-friendly stuff going on the whole island. So,
Great. Anyway,
tell us about what you do at this beautiful retreat center.
Well, I actually had, before I moved here, I spoke about permaculture. I had a little small intentional community, kind of like almost a mini Kalani that I would try to raise awareness, and we were growing as much food as we can. It was more of an urban setting. And I came here just hoping to live in an environment where the land was conducive to growing food, year-round growing season. People kind of have a mindset here that's maybe more agriculture or spiritually kind of based in agriculture,
yeah.
growing food, respecting the Aina. And
well, explain,
when I came to Kalani, I realized
wait.
That it was a really great opportunity to expand just that here. You know, the feeling of being in a community retreat center, like a, you know, having almost like a tribe of old times where people work together and, you know, everybody is paddling in one direction with the canoe really appealed to me. And the infrastructure was all here, and the land is perfect for it. So we've just started to move in a direction of looking at what, in the days of the Ahupua'a, the ancient ways of using the land to basically create everything that they need, we would look at that, and we're modeling after that to kind of recreate that in a modern sense.
Well, I want to go back because you said something about the Aina, and I want to just help people understand because I don't even understand. I kind of have context, but tell us what that is.
The Aina is just the land. Malama Aina is a phrase that you'll hear a lot in Hawaii, and to malama is to steward or to take care of. And that it's very deeply ingrained in Hawaiian culture to feel connected. Their religion, if you will, was very based in the ebbs and flows of nature, and through kapu systems, they had regulations on, you know, when, for example, not to fish a certain type of fish because it was, you know, it was in its breeding cycle. Mm. And, you know, they were very aware and in tune of their place in nature and how to not draw too much, or when to draw and how to be beneficial.
Now, you mentioned that you had really been working in your own intentional community before that. Where was that? Was that on the mainland?
That was actually in the Oceans of Corn in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, wow.
The opposite of Hawaii.
That's fantastic. And how did you get to Hawaii? Just out of curiosity, was it just a trip or, you know?
He swam.
I had a film crew that came and stayed a week with everybody at the community. They were making a small film about collectivism. And I had met some friends that were talking about the Big Island through that film crew that they were just saying that it's, you know, Puna, the district that I live in, is, they thought I would fit in very well. You know, where I come from with all of the permaculture, the wild foraging, and all the things that I was into, they said I'd have to visit. And I always felt really drawn to Hawaii for many reasons. But I decided that, you know, with the battle with GMO, with Monsanto, with the subversiveness of, you know, trying to become, you know, food...
independent.
Trying to become, like... self-sufficient.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I realized that if I couldn't do it in Hawaii on this small island, I don't know if I could do it anywhere.
Yeah.
So I just basically took a chance and came to the island, and it has been magical ever since.
Yeah, I am hearing that once we get there, we're going to have a very hard time leaving, and we're going to love it for a
lot of
reasons.
Maybe you shouldn't go. Maybe you should send the green dudes instead.
Well, you know, my mother actually was raised partially in Hawaii as a small child. My uncle was born there, and I'd never been. I still have never been, so I'm really looking forward to it. But in particular, I have heard so many fabulous things about the agriculture, the sustainable agriculture, and the cultural mindset that has, you know, such connection to the earth and to the natural cycles that it does seem like it's a no-brainer that a green diva belongs there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, and it's so important to show kind of the self-sufficiency when you're in an island environment like that, where what you don't produce, you have to import at great expense, both monetarily and for the environment and the carbon
impact. Very true. Yeah, that's, I think, the shift. You know, there's many perspectives here on what sustainability actually is and what it should look like in the future. And I think everybody's kind of trying to move in one direction, but I see many different canoes kind of paddling in different directions. You know, I've kind of tried within communities here to help not so much be a chief, but just try to bring the chiefs together, per se.
Yeah.
And, you know, to just try to help get everybody moving in one direction, because that synergy is what really, I think, is necessary to, in essence, pull us out of what could possibly become a precarious situation as far as food and, you know, food security in the future. Being so remote, this land through Ahupua'a, I mentioned that before, it was basically the way that these people, with no power tools, with Stone Age technology, they were able to produce for themselves, to collaborate, and actually to thrive. And those systems have unfortunately not so much been lost, but they've, you know, the infrastructure of those systems has been lost.
Right.
You know, even a lot of the knowledge, I feel like it's still there, but it's not intact.
Yeah.
And I just feel that, you know, the we use the term agriculture. You know, agriculture is such a kind of an old, it makes me think of rows of monocrop. And
right. Lincoln, Nebraska.
There's such a different teaching that I think needs to be viewed here that Hawaii kind of embraces. And, you know, it's looking at the why of nature, looking at how plants and trees interact and how, you know, everything that we view here is perfection. And, you know, a lot of great inventors in our past, even in the United States, I think they have looked at the why. You know, we see, for example, airplanes, they can model the wings of birds. You know, there's biomimicry that's happening everywhere within our technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's the same thing moving out of an agricultural mindset
right.
to move back into how nature is perfection, and it's our teacher. You know,
yeah.
I started with books, textbooks, learning, you know, what other people had viewed and done and their theories of how things work. And, you know, now what I've realized is Hawaii, the diversity here, the power of this land, you know, just even the year-round growing season, it becomes such a obvious teacher, you know, in areas that have been deforested or like from the Midwest where I was,
right.
Nature was more of a subtlety.
Yeah.
And here, it's so apparent how, if you tune into it, how things flow and work together. And, you know, any design that I do, it starts with that. It's
yeah.
any education that I do, it starts with that, to try to show the dynamics of nature, to where instead of me trying to guide someone or textbooks guiding that person, to allow perfection to guide them.
Well, I am really looking forward to, hopefully you'll be there in September when we come out.
I should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really looking forward to meeting you and seeing some of your work there and, you know,
thank
just
you.
Kind of getting, we were only going to have a couple of days there, but it won't take me too long to get, in, you know, into the groove, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like what
I
you said.
Like about even a couple days, people leave here. Time seems to move differently in this area.
Yeah.
You know, I've been here almost 2 years now, and it seems like it's this dualism of it's fast and it's slow at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much that can happen in even just a few hours where it seems like a lifetime.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's short.
Well, I don't know. I like what you said about sustainability, and we're all got our own canoes. And I get, you know, one of the things we do is we ask people when they come to the studio, especially, and you know, we ask them, what does sustainability mean to you, when we do our little videos? And the reason we do that partially is because everybody's got a different answer. And it depends. If you're all about, you know, permaculture, it's one thing. Maybe if you've got children and small children, it's something more geared towards small children and family and education. And maybe
sure.
if you're really
yeah.
into energy, you know, your focus is going to be more about sustainable energy and energy independence.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to hear. And we all do have our niche and the things that we do well. I happen to be a communicator, so this is what I do to kind of further the cause in my own way, you know?
Absolutely. And it takes all those things. You know, permaculture in itself it's a holistic design
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
It takes many pieces to bring it together to make the whole. And I feel like sometimes that becomes kind of a premise for debate with certain people because they see their side of it, and it's hard for them to maybe move out of that
right.
mentality to see the other sides.
Right.
But for me, I know that, you know, true sustainability, like even alternative energy, the solar panels, for example, the metals have to be mined in China.
Right.
You know, there's plastics and metal and shipping. There's petroleum products that to box it up and trucks that
yeah.
have to ship it to us.
Yeah.
And then at the end of its life, we bury it in the ground. You know, it's still not truly, in my thinking, truly sustainable. You know, it's a hard thing to swallow, but true sustainability, the only culture that has really been sustainable, that, you know, the only time in humanity that's been sustainable has been the Stone Age. And I think a lot of people are afraid of that.
Well,
you know, they're
yeah.
afraid of not having their cell phones and laptops. And you know, I can understand that because I was one of those people. But over time, what I've realized is as I start to detach from some of those things, you know, I don't want to necessarily lose all of those things because they're so convenient. They, you know, are so helpful. And, you know, they're great for the transition to move towards true sustainability. But as I detach from those things, I realize that other things fill those holes. I have better relationships with the people that are around me. I'm more in the now. I see more with what's happening. I feel more connected to the land and to my work. And, you know, it's almost for me like being in two different worlds when I'm very focused on computer work or keeping in touch with people that don't live around me or, you know, does that make sense?
It totally
Absolutely.
Makes sense. And I just
yeah.
Yesterday and this morning finished recording the first Green Divas guided meditation. I call it Green Divas Peace Out Meditation podcast.
Yeah.
And it's this one's all about tech break. What did I call it? Tech timeout. That's right. Tech timeout.
Okay.
And, you know, it's very focused on, you know, this stuff is great. Sometimes it's life-saving for some of us. But, like, you know, we've got to be able to put it down and reconnect. And how do we do that? How do we do that?
Absolutely.
So.
You know, I teach here. I'm still developing my full teaching. But what's really come to me is I've realized that there's four reintegrations, if you'll call them, that seem to be holistic enough to bring us to a baseline where we can communicate, where we can work in community. And those reintegrations would be a reintegration of body through yoga, through exercise, you know, through just feeling connected, even meditation, a reintegration of mind, you know, using,
yeah.
there's so many things to reintegrate your mind through, you know, reading books like some that have helped me, like Deepak Chopra and Thich Nhat Hanh and Eckhart Tolle and, you know.
Right, and whatever that is for somebody, it may be something slightly different, but whatever it is that touches you
yeah,
and sparks
yeah, for
that.
For each person, mm-hmm. they have to find it in their own way. And, you know, for me, I feel like I've found the things that have kind of brought me back into my mind and made me feel connected. And, you know, there's reintegration of nature. For me, that's through permaculture. You know, I find my place in the ecosystem that I'm involved in. You know, we, even as people, you know, I feel like a lot of people have maybe lost sight of the fact that, you know, we have our place within the ecosystem and our job to do. And, you know, I feel like for a long time in my life, I was feeling like I rode on top of it, that
right.
I wasn't part of it.
Right,
and
right.
So just learning that and learning the subtleties and how I can not alter nature or necessarily change it, but just help it do what it needs to do.
Well,
for itself and for us.
Integration
yeah.
of tribe, and I feel like that's just things like, for me, nonviolent communication, how to
right.
talk to people
right.
without raising defensiveness.
Oh, that's
that's a whole
segment right there. That's a whole other show, and it's fabulous. So we got to close up now, but
okay.
obviously
yeah.
we could talk for hours. So we're going to
I'm sure.
you back,
yeah.
and we'll you know pick maybe a narrower topic,
and you'll be going there.
Cause yeah, and I'm going to reintegrate myself with Hawaii and Kalani.
Ooh.
And
I'll try not to whine too much that we'll be back here in Jersey.
And you can go to kalani.com, K-A-L-A-N-I.com, and find out more about some of Eric's work and what's going on there. And I believe that the Kalani is also offering like a 20% discount for anybody that comes through the Green Divas, and we'll be having that on our website. So, you know, take terrific. Advantage of it.
Thank you so much, Eric, for sharing your terrific insights.
Yeah, cool. I'm really looking forward to meeting you, Eric.
Great. Likewise. Yeah, I know that permaculture is such a huge topic, and there's so many angles, and, you know, it's something that, like you said, it takes a long time to even understand what it really is. So 2 days, you know, it's not enough to know it all, but I feel like when you come, you'll leave with a lot.
Aww. Terrific.
I know everyone does.
I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Eric.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas radio show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.